Hey everybody, my name's Joe. You've joined me for episode number 7 of The Hobby Heroes. With me as always is Ryan. Ryan, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing well, Joe. How are you?
Not too bad, not too bad. So, we are back for episode number 7 and ready to go. We got Adepticon coming up and lots that we've done recently to talk about, including our, we played out the Destiny of Kings, one of those scenarios for us to discuss the main topic. But first we wanted to give a little shout out to Wade Durant, who sent us some feedback. Ryan, you want to go over that?
Yeah, in the last episode we discussed Triumph and Treachery and trying to make it work with Kings of War, and how we were discussing that there's a lot of the cards that just didn't work, that you got to make new objectives and things to fit with the Kings of War. And so he just sent us an email stating that he and his friends have been playing TNT, and they actually had pretty good success with it, and that on the Mantic forums under the general section that he actually has a list of the cards that did not work that he has converted over to Kings of War. And so it made it quite a bit easier for us, at least going forward next times, because we don't have to worry about redoing all those cards. He did it for us. So just wanted to say thanks to Wade and appreciate the feedback and keep it coming.
Yeah, we'll get a link of that in the show notes too for the changes that he made. Now, I went through them all, and some of the changes that he made are actually pretty much the same ones we made.
Yeah.
Very slight differences. But he also adapted a number of cards that we didn't adapt, so pretty cool. Definitely going to look at kind of doing an amalgamation of both of them when we go back to give this another try, probably in a couple months.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, nice to see that other people are trying the same thing. Moving along, we have a little bit of news. So there are a couple things. There's a new website. It's a blog. It's called kingsofwarresource.com. That's all one big fat word. And basically what they're trying to do is create a website that's going to gather like all the kings of news. The kings of war news. It's going to be all in one place. So like all the releases and stuff. They're also going to try and do like hobby articles, tactics articles, alternative model ranges. They opened up with, they had a preview of the new white models that are coming out from Mantic that are due out in March. So that's pretty cool. And
yeah, just looking over the website, it is pretty cool. I didn't know about it until you sent it to me so that we could discuss it. And I'm definitely going to be checking it out because it looks like they got a lot of good stuff already up here with hopefully more to come.
Yeah, absolutely. And keeping on the discussion of those whites, there is actually quite a few releases coming out in March due from Mantic. So we've got the new white models. So let's start at those. They're kind of like Reaper dudes, flaming skulls, flowy black robes, significantly larger than the original white models. These are actually like, monstrous infantry sized models. What do you think of these?
I like them. Overall, it's just like one of them has just like that really distended jaw.
Yeah.
But overall, I give them a B plus to an A.
All right, I dig them. I like. I'm not sure that I like all the weapon choices. I think the scythe is fine. I think they should have just went with scythe for the whole thing. Had that kind of Reaper look to them, Grim Reaper. But everybody has different opinions on that stuff. So we'll go down to the elves. The elves are getting.
Some cav. Looks like some kind of fast cav.
Looks like cav. It's the Silverwing Wind Cavalry or something like that. So it's elves with bows on fast cavalry. Probably going to have Vanguard, move of probably 10 bows. The horses don't look bad. I actually don't mind those. I think they look okay. The elves, on the other hand,
they're just Mantic elves. Elves are not good. I mean, to be honest, I think it's probably one of their worst ranges.
It is.
So it is what it is. I mean, they are decent looking models, but I mean, the horses are great, but the elves themselves, I'd give a C. They're run of the mill.
Yeah, they're pretty much just like the other elves. I'm not a huge fan. So, give it or take it, probably give it. I don't want it. we got after that, we have three new hero models. We have the Undead Lycanus, which is the hero werewolf, you know, fieldable in, I think, all the undead armies. I think he's also in a couple other armies. He basically looks like a roid-raged werewolf.
Yeah, he's cool. I dig him. I mean, he is, you know, pretty much what the 10 says. He is a jacked-up werewolf.
Yeah, I like him. He's got he's got long legs compared to most of their monstrous cavalry. They're, you know, bent at knee heavily, and he's kind of leaning forward on one hand, and the other arm's kind of up in the air. But the sculpt overall looks pretty good. I like that model a lot. You got the big crotch tuft, which is...
Yeah, I mean, you got to hide the bits.
But otherwise, yeah, I really like it. And moving down, we got the Abyssal Dwarf Slave Driver. It's an Abyssal Dwarf hero with a whip and a hand weapon. I could give or take this model.
I like him. He's got kind of like a samurai type look to him, I think, with his armor.
Yeah, he's got that kind of scale mail and that helmet that looks pretty samurai-ish. The sword is really weird looking. It's got like this fork tipped on the end. Meh. But it fits in. It's nice they're making some extra character models. Next up, we have the troll hero, the Troll Bruiser. And this is, you know, a roided out troll. Still missed leg day. Tiny legs. I think they are a little bit... I think he's like a little bit taller in the leg direction than the regular trolls, considering I just finished painting a horde of them. But it looks like he's mostly the same size. I actually do like the pose a lot. He's kind of got one foot up on a rock, and he's pointing out with his left hand. He's got this giant killer chopper thing in his right hand. So, cool pose.
Yeah, I like him a lot. He's a bit disproportionate. He's like a reverse pear. He's just very big on top and very small on bottom. But he fits with the rest of the trolls, so I think he looks good.
He does. I like it a lot, yeah. I dig him. I'll probably end up getting him at some point. They don't have any kind of price structure on here, but the Kings of War resource said that they're looking pricing the whites. I guess they're going to be in plastic. It said it's going to be like $28 for three models. So, oh no, it says in metal. $28 for three models in metal, I guess that's not bad. $10 a pop.
Yeah, if they're ogre size, that's not bad.
No, so cool. I wish they had some prices on the other models or a release date specifically, other than just, you know, March. But no complaints.
Yeah, no, they're Mantic's doing their thing. They're getting better looking at the models, and the cost is still in the good range.
Yeah, so we'll get pictures of all those in the show notes so that everyone can see them there, and the show notes are on the blog. So yeah, we'll get the show notes put up. And you can check those out.
Countercharge. Countercharge is the first podcast totally dedicated to the game Kings of War. Join your hosts Andrew, Mark, and Rob as they delve into the world of Mantica and bring you in-depth coverage of all things Kings of War. You can find us on iTunes and at OhioHammer.com, a proud member of the Ohio Hammer Network of Podcasts.
All right, so we're going to get to what we've been up to now. We've both been doing a lot. I think I've probably done slightly more, but I don't know that. So this last weekend, February 20, you know, 6th, 7th, and 8th, was the second Countercharge Kings of War Army and Weekend Spectacular Challenge number 2. It's the most ridiculous thing they do, and they try and make this crazy acronym to hashtag on Twitter and Facebook. So you can go back to Twitter, and you can search hashtag CCKOW, I think it's AS. It's nuts. The goal is to paint a 1,000-point army in a weekend. Now, last time I did this, I didn't get anywhere near it. And then this time, it was supposed to be either a 1,000-point army or add 1,000 points to your previous army. So I went with that because, you know, depth count's coming. I needed to paint for that anyway. And what I chose to do was add a horde of trolls, a horde of orclings, a regiment of gore riders, a giant who, to be honest, I already had painted because I've got so damn many of them, and then convert up my crudger to be able to fly on the back of a cockatrice from GW for my wing slasher. I just think that's more kind of in line with the height of this game, you know. slapping. Like, I have a dragon. I got a Bones Dragon, too, that I put a Crudger on. But he's significantly larger, and he needs painted, whereas the Cockatrice, again, was already done. So I cheated a lot. But...
Sounds like it.
Eh, shut up. So I before the weekend, I did finish. I based, assembled, primed everything. Over the weekend, I really cracked down, got the Orklings done. I got, like, 3/4 of the Gore Riders done. Finished the trolls almost. Like, literally all I had to do was layer and highlight a few things to finish them afterwards. Before that weekend, I actually got and painted a dwarf death roller for my Blood Bowl team. So I can't wait to get that stupid thing even there, even though that's like the worst model in the dwarf list for Blood Bowl. But it's also like the most iconic, right? It's like the dwarf death roller just...
Yeah, yeah. It's a fun model. It's just you better hope that you... either they or you don't score quickly or else it's gone.
Yeah, well, the goal of once you buy that, you're no longer attempting to score. You're just attempting to run people over and kill them. After it's gone off the field, then you score. So what have you been painting?
I am still working on the unit of Brock Riders, the regiment of Brock Riders, I should say. So I have the actual Brocks themselves, the Badgers, finished up and mounted on the regiment bases. Or I guess it's two troop bases. And base coating the actual riders at this point. They are mostly base coated. Should get them, you know, actually base coated within the next day or two, and then just got to put the details into them. So maybe about a week or two, they should be done. And then finished assembling the rest of my dwarves. So I assembled 20 more shield breakers, give me a total of 40, 20 more ironclad, upping that to 40. And then 10 more Iron Guard give me a total of 20 of them. So I am completely assembled on the dwarf front at this point. So I got to actually get in gear and start painting either that or buy more stuff to put together.
Well, now you got the bottom half of the Brock Riders done. Are you going to get the top? Are you going to get the actual Riders done before Adepticon? Because aren't they in your list?
Yeah, they're on the list. Yeah, the actual Badgers are done. Like I said, the actual riders should be done within the next week or two, probably.
Right on. Because you're going to use my army for the Adepticon, right?
Right, yeah. I'm using yours and then just throwing in my own Brock Riders.
Yeah. It'll be close enough. Cool. So, other than that, we had another game day weekend. Now, we discussed the one we had back in January in our February show, and then we had one at the end of February for our March show. So, we ended up... We organized this to be at my house, which was nice because I was able to do proof of concept that I can actually host 10 players in my basement.
Yeah, it was kind of impressive.
But yeah, and if I rearranged, I guarantee you I could get a sixth one down here and maybe a seventh. not that we'll get that many players ever at the same time, but it's nice to know that it's plausible, especially since, you know, if I do it, I don't have to drive anywhere. And we had a bunch of guys come down. We had you, me, and Dave, obviously. And then we had Jim and Ray came over from Decatur. Our buddy Chip came up from further south than you. He lives in Raymond. He brought his son, Tim. And then Chuck came down from Bloomington. And then we had another guy named Dave from Decatur who came, but he didn't play. He just wanted to watch and kind of check it out. So that left Chip's son, Tim, to play. Now, Timmy's only 11 years old, so it's not like he's a genius at tactical acumen or anything. But, he gave it his all. He came in here and he played. He had the basics of the rules down, you know. So, I mean, hey, the kid's eager to learn and play with the adults. I got no problem with that.
Absolutely. He has a basic understanding of the rules. He's a polite kid. I mean, he's not, you know, annoying the hell out of you. So it worked out well. I thought everyone that played him did fine, and I thought he did fine.
Yeah, absolutely. So we played 2,000-point games, and we all got two games in, which is... You know, I wish people could have came over earlier or stayed later, so we could have all done three. But two games is better than none, so I'm pretty happy with that. So why don't you go ahead and quick roll through your two games.
Yeah, first game I played Chip was Dwarf versus Dwarf, and it was pretty similar lists. And this was his first game ever actually playing. I mean, he had the rules and had looked through it, so it was pretty well... I had it handled as far as winning, but, you know, that wasn't really the point. It was to, you know, teach him the game and get him into it, but he just had some really bad dice at some really bad times, which really led to a massacre on his end. Like he double snaked a couple of nerve rolls on me at one point that kept a couple of my hordes in there, and then like I just steamrolled through him, and he failed a couple headstrongs to get back some wavered units. So in the end, it was much closer than it actually looked like, but it was a solid win to me. But it was a good game. I think we both had fun. And then the second game was against Ray and his elves. Now, I actually own elves, but I haven't played them a whole lot. And what are they, Draken Riders? Those guys are good. I mean, it's just they're heavy cav, flying, you know, what is it, Crushing Strength 1, Thunderous Charge 1. So he had those and a dragon. And against dwarves, he was just outmaneuvering me. The best I did is I was able to kind of get those two flyers to one side of the table to just kind of delay him while I handled the other flank. And so it came out as a draw in the end. But it, had it went another couple turns, it would have definitely been a win for him.
Yeah, Draken Riders are pretty good. Between, like, there are really three heavily allied units that you see a lot that people talk about. There's the Ogre Horde of Shooters, there's the Elohai from the Basilians, and then there's the Elf Draken Riders. Those are like the three most common allied units to either provide you a significant amount of actual good shooting power, and then to provide you a ridiculous amount of like combat and maneuverability. I didn't play Ray, but I'm sure we'll get there. We're looking at playing another one in April, so I played, my first game I played Jim, and he was running Ogres. Now, he was trying the Ogre Shooter Horde, so he had two hordes of Ogre Shooters, with one with the plus one to hit, one with the plus one piercing, and then he had, like, Blast Wagon, some Berserkers, Giant, regular Warriors, and then I don't think he had any Siegebreakers, which he probably needed, but basically, I put a Giant and my Winged Slasher up the left flank along with some Great Axe, and Jim made the mistake of shooting his horde of Ogre Shooters there at the Great Axe instead of either of those two, so on my turn two, I charged him and took out that horde. And there was a big scrum combat in the forest on the other side of the board. His Red Goblin Blaster came flying up in the middle of me, blew up, only hit one unit, did like 5 wounds, so not spectacular. Certainly wasn't the result he was looking for. And then, you know, it just took me another 4 turns, but I eventually pretty much tabled him. I had him down to, I think, is the Warlord. Is it a Warlord?
Yeah, the kind of hero level character is the Warlord.
Yeah, that guy. I had him down to that guy. So it was a pretty solid win to me. And then next I played Chuck, and he was running his Abyssal Dwarves, which was basically just a pared-down version of his Adepticon list, which is really what I was running at the time as well, just a pared-down version of the Adepticon list. And he had, what was it, like 2 units of Gargoyles, Basusu the Vile, so one of the Gargoyles was upgraded. He had some Slave Wolves, some Half-Breeds, 2 big units of the Grotesques, which is the large cavalry, and then 3 Death Shrieker rockets, I think. So he really tabled me, I do believe, if I remember correctly. Or if not tabled me, got me damn close to being tabled. And I think there was a couple things. One, I made a foolish move. He put a individual character out in front of his War Machine, and I got greedy. I was like, oh, I'm going to hit that with my Winged Slasher and then overrun into the War Machine. And didn't even really think to measure it all out. Like, even if I'd killed the individual, I'd have had to roll a 5 to get to the War Machine. And I didn't kill the individual as it was because it was a half-breed. So, like, defense 5 with, like, a 15-17 break check. And didn't roll good enough on my attacks. So I got stuck there, ended up getting flanked and killed in that. The Gargoyles came out and did exactly what they're supposed to do, which was chaff you up. And then when you don't kill them, they hop over you and start causing issues in your backfield. And regen 3s on those things. I don't think I killed either one of them. Basusu came in, and again, just like the Gargoyles, ran around playing havoc with me. So it, you know, didn't go well for me. Everything ended up off the board. I did get one of his big unit of Grotesques. I got the Wolf Riders. I got, I think, the Half-Breeds, but that was it. So, yeah, pretty decisive loss on my end. Showed me that I really need to be a little more careful about how I deploy, and it also showed me how much I'm missing any kind of shooting. Like, in my human list, I would have had at least two or three things to try and knock off his war machines or to help take out the gargoyles, but in this list, the orcs, it's all combat. I really only had the choice to go forward and hope that combat carried me through, and it did not.
Yeah, flying is a big deal in this game, I think. I'm learning that more and more. You either got to have it or prepare to deal with it.
Yeah, and I mean, I had a little bit, the one winged crudger. I don't think at 2,500 points he's going to be enough, and I certainly didn't have defense for the backfield, so... Looking at changing the list a little bit, but not real 100% sure on where yet, so you can count on that probably happening. I don't know, Adepticon's what, like 27 days away?
Yeah, it's so, sneaking up, isn't it?
If I'm going to do anything, I'm going to have to do it awfully damn fast, because, I mean, most of the orcs, the orc army is pretty much done. There's a few little pieces here and there that I got to clean up. And then I have to put static grass and everything and quick throw together a simple display board. But if I want to put anything extra in it or change things out, like, time is not on my side. But we'll be looking into that. And, you know, I'll throw a blog post up maybe later this month talking about changes to the list.
I won't hold my breath on that.
Hey, now. So we're going to take a break and we'll be back with the main topic.
Go, girl!
right, so we're back. Thanks for joining us, sticking with us here through the break. And we're going to get on to our main topic, which in this episode is a Kings of War Destiny of Kings campaign scenario. Now, the Destiny of Kings campaign book came with, I think it's like a 7-series campaign that you can play. It's kind of an ordered scenarios. But the other thing is, in the back of the book, it also had, I think it was 6 new scenarios. And these are designed to be narrative scenarios, so they're not really supposed to be balanced in any way. Like, there are a couple that say, like, you get unending waves, so whoever's the attacker, whenever a unit dies, it just comes back on off the attacker's board edge. So, you know, obviously they're going to win eventually just through cumulative damage. But we rolled for it, and we ended up doing the scenario Deep Defense. Now, it's pretty strange. It basically runs the board in a long direction. So the attacker, who in our game ended up being Ryan, starts on one of the short board edges. And then the defender, which was me, has to split their army up into half pieces. So, you know, we played 2,000 points, I think.
Yeah.
So I had 1,000 points had to start off the board and 1,000 points start on the board. And my deployment zone was actually a stripe across the middle of the board, you know, the short way. So it was 48 inches across, 12 inches wide, but it was kind of in the middle of the board. And then my reserves were coming in off the logget, or the short edge of the opposite side of the board. So Ryan started like 24 inches from me. And then none of my reserves could come on till turn 2. So I split my army up. So let's go over the list. So I had a Crudger on a Wing Slasher, a Godspeaker with Bane Chant and Inspiring, and the Wing Crudger had 6 plus defense, so he had the armor. Then I had a Horde of Axe, a Horde of Trolls, 2 regiments of Gores, 1 with Brew of Haste, a regiment of Chariots, 2 regiments of Orklings, a regiment of Great Axe, and 2 Giants. So
I came in again playing the Dwarves at a Horde of the Ironclad, Regiment of Iron Guard, Regiment Berserkers, Regiment Brock Riders, Troop of Crossbows, 2 Organ Guns, a Horde of Earth Elementals, a Army Standard Bearer, Warsmith, Stone Priest, a Steel Behemoth, and then a Cannon as well.
Now, I gotta say, I was worried. I was like, damn, that's a lot of shooting. But it didn't do too much over the course of the game, and we'll get there. So when we set up, like I said, my guys started kind of in the middle, so I put all my foot dudes in there because I knew they were slow. I put a regiment of Gore Riders and all the other stuff, the Giants, the Flyer, the Chariots, the other regiment of Gores with the Brew of Haste. They all started in reserves, and I did that because they're the fastest things in the army. So I was like, if, you know, they should be able to still get to combat before Ryan completely destroys the first chunk of my army. And so, yeah. I overestimated the firepower, though. Like, the organ guns, the cannon, the behemoth, the crossbows. Like, I was super worried at the beginning, especially because orcs have such low nerve anyway.
Yeah, I was expecting to do a bit more. I had honestly forgot that I had that extra cannon in there. So it surprised me. I don't know if I put it in there thinking I was only going to put in one organ gun. But, man, it's still, you know, it is what it is. But just terrible placement. I don't think I ever shot that cannon.
No, you didn't. It ended up, like, behind a wood. And the only things it wanted to shoot at were going to be coming through the wood straight into combat, so it kind of wasted the game away. So turn 1, the defender starts. Oh, I guess we should go over the scenario goal. So in the dead center of the table is a statue, and I think the book actually calls it an idol. It's got a defense of 6, and it's got like a break of 18, I think. I think it says like size 4, so it's pretty big. And Ryan's entire goal as the attacker is just to destroy this thing. Like, if he destroys it, he wins the game. And my goal is to keep that from happening. I'm like, he's just going to shoot this thing to death. But politely, he didn't. You know, he gave me a game instead of just blasting it off the table. So turn 1, everything went forward. Because orcs don't wait around for, you know, a fight. They go find a fight. So we just, everything forward. I had, like, Orklings on the left with some Great Axe. I had my big Horde of Axe in the middle. I had the Troll and the Regiment of Gore Riders on the right, all forward. And then, Ryan, your turn 1, you pretty much did the same thing. I mean, you moved a lot of stuff forward. I think you charged the Behemoth into some Orklings, didn't you?
I think I shot him the first round. They only have a movement of 4, so charge of 8. So I don't think I was able to make the charge the first turn. So I just did the breath weapon. But yeah, I knew that even going 24, it was going to take me a while to get there to that idle. So I had to start on the move. So that was pretty much mine, was just go forward, shoot a few things. I think I killed one unit of Orklings between all my shooting. Put quite a few wounds on the horde of yours, I believe, but didn't quite kill it. But yeah, that was, it's pretty uneventful first turn.
Yeah, you did a significant amount of the horde in that first turn. I think you wavered the horde of axe. So turn two, your stuff's there in front of me. My great axe, I threw them into the behemoth. They did a couple wounds. You know, they weren't going to break it, but I just wanted to see what they could do. The gore riders and trolls kind of inched into the forest so that they could then see through it. All my stuff came out in reserve and just, you know, charged in across the table as fast as they could.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you had to do. I mean, you had 1,000 points versus 2,000, really. So I just kind of did more of the same. I, you know, continued to shoot into your horde unit, took the steel behemoth countercharge back into the great axes, continued to shoot some stuff. But so I wavered the great axe, or was it the horde of your orcs the first turn, and then the second turn I snake-eyed it, and so instead of wiping them off,
woohoo,
they held. And so now my whole plan was thrown off because that unit wasn't supposed to be there, and so now I got to deal with it. And so that was kind of a linchpin moment there, the game that I thought, which really put me on the back foot.
Worked out really well for me, though.
Yeah.
You also surged, you had your elementals that were in the forest, and after I'd walked up into it, you surged them forward into my gore riders. But again, didn't roll particularly well, and you didn't break them, which left you in a really bad spot.
Yeah, that was the first time I'd used the elementals, and so I was just more curious to see how they did. The more I play with them, the more I like them. But that, yeah, I just bounced off and left my flank open to your trolls, and then your gore riders could charge the front. So they were about to go bye-bye, which, I mean, that'll happen here turn three.
Yeah, so my reserves continued, you know, floating forward. At this point, I think I got the Crudger up behind a house, kind of aimed out so he could get some things on turn four, and as far as charges are concerned. The Great Axe countercharged Steel Behemoth again, you know, doing a couple wounds here and there, which is pretty much all you managed to do to me. The Gore Riders and the Trolls, like you said, they double-teamed the Elementals, killed those. The Axe unit, having, you know, double-wound, they charged your Berserkers and killed all of them before they ever had a chance to do anything. And then they just kind of had to sit there and take what was coming to them afterwards.
Yeah, they still did more than what they were looked like they were going to do at the start of the game.
Yeah, no kidding.
But yeah, at this point, I then went in to the orcs with my horde of ironclad, and so I just kind of finished those off. And then last turn and this turn, I just kind of marched, or I guess not marched, at the doubled, my Brock Riders kind of past your stuff in an attempt to kind of swing around to get into your backfield or handle the stuff coming from the back. And so that's what they're doing this turn. But really, at this point, between the elementals going down, having to charge your horde of axe orcs, I was just really out of position. The steel behemoth was still slap fighting with the great axes over there. So it was not looking good. Your 1,000 points was holding well against my full 2,000 points.
Indeed. So turn four, the reserves make it there. The Crudger flew over Ryan's line to go chase some war machines around, which was certainly not the thing I should have done. The other unit of Gore Riders who had the Brew of Haste hit your regiment of Iron Guard, broke those. I sent one giant in with the Gore Riders to the Iron Guard. That's how I managed to kill him in one shot. And then I screwed up. Like, this is where I had the other giant back there, kind of in the back, and he was in front of your Brock Riders, but he wasn't going to be able to charge them, and they, like, he was out of range. And what I ended up doing, just not even thinking about it, because as the orcs do, they got, you know, the scent of blood in the air and they wanted more. So I moved him forward out of your arc of sight, when what really should have happened is I should have left him there, and I should have positioned that flying, my wing slasher behind them or somewhere to get like the eventual counter charge in after I sacrificed the giant. Because this really is kind of, you know, I've heard a number of people describe Kings of War as a game of sacrifice. It's all about, you know, throwing away units to the common good. And I missed it pretty hard.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, my Brock Riders made the turn, went past your giant, and we're now staring down the barrel of that idol. As long as I could kill that, I win the game. So I had the charge set up next turn. We'll see how it goes. But other than that, I mean, you were still just wiping me. I think I finally killed the Great Axe with the
Behemoth.
Steel Behemoth, but my Horde died that turn. My Iron Guard died that turn. So my whole left flank was just gone. All I had was I think the cannon was still out there. I think your Crudger was killing the cannon, but all it had done is run away, like literally run away from your trolls the whole game. It hadn't stayed and shot anything. So it was 115 points of worthless.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was just a bad setup on my end. But I could see redemption. The light at the end of the tunnel was there. I just needed one more turn.
Indeed. And turn five. So at this point, like, we're both looking at it. I'm like, and I screwed the pooch. I measured every angle and looked at every possibility to get something turned around and in front of the Brock Riders, and nothing was going to make it. So I basically just had to accept that that's what it was. And so, yeah, I think I sent the Crudger in, killed the cannon as like the consolation prize. And then, you know, I turned the giant around just in case the Brock Riders managed to not kill the idol, so that if they didn't, he could charge them on my turn. But no, they came in, smashed the idol, game over, Ryan wins. I lost sight of the prize, and that'll fail you in a game where scenario matters.
Yeah, boom, plan set up. Plan executed, you fell for the old banana in the tailpipe, and bing, bang, boom, victory for the dwarves.
Yeah. The worst part of it is that I absolutely was there. Like, I had the ability to block them, and then, if not kill them, keep you from at least killing the idol.
Oh, yeah.
And I totally just lost sight of that, moved things past it, and basically handed it to you, because I was all like, oh, I'm doing so much better than I thought I was going to.
Yeah, you absolutely outplayed me that game. It was, I mean, you really did beat almost my entire 2,000-point army with maybe 1,200 points, 15 at the most. And you just outplayed me. I just got lucky that you, like I said, you lost sight of the prize, and I was able to keep that focus going and was able to get the win.
Yeah, I was really at the end of it. I mean, I think there's a couple things to look at here. Your shooting was abysmal for what, like, as much shooting as you had, you did not do as much damage as you should have. Part of it's because you had that cannon that never really did anything. And then part of it, you know, your organ guns, just they weren't hitting that much.
Yeah, and it was also the long edge, so I really didn't have that full four foot to set up. I just had, you know, the kind of the, I guess, what is it, 36 inches to set up? 48. Right, 48. So what's the long?
72 is the long.
72, that's what I'm saying. Man, math is hard. So I didn't have as much space as I'm normally used to. And then, you know, I just didn't set up well. Like, there was a house in the way that I should have set up better, and I definitely should have set up the cannon better, because it didn't do anything all game. Like, I should have at least just put it straight down the middle and take what shots I could get. But overall, it was poor setup on my part, but again, I do think that I just got outplayed and just got lucky there at the end.
Yeah, part of that setup is you ended up with a hill in your deployment zone, and like you said, with only 48 inches, you had to crowd your stuff in, and so you were forced to kind of put the organ guns up there so that they get line of sight to anything. And that limited them pretty hard, because like you said, there was a house there. So only one of the organ guns was actually able to see the idol and then shoot at it later in the game. You know, I think if you'd put both the organ guns just front and center and just blasted away at the island, you'd have probably taken it down in the first turn or two.
Yeah, but that wouldn't have been fun.
Yeah, it would have been a crappy game. So, it was a fun scenario. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was, you know, definitely different, definitely gave a different goal than what we're used to.
Yeah.
Looking forward to trying some of the other ones.
We talked about it, and I think that if I was the attacker, I guess, or the defender, if I had to come on from the board edge, that it would have not been a good game, because it would have taken me forever to get back up to that middle point. I just didn't have mobility.
Yeah, originally we had rolled for it, and Ryan rolled to be the defender, and then we're like, no, that's going to suck. Because, yeah, I'm like, I'm going to be on you in a turn, and half your army's never going to make it.
Yeah, you would have just smoked that idol right off the bat, and it would have been done with.
Yeah, wouldn't have been a very good game. So, I mean, part of things, you know, part of doing scenarios and narrative play is acknowledging what a game's going to be and making a game out of it, even when you know there isn't one. Like, Ryan could have shot the idol off in a turn. If we'd been the defender, I would have just wiped him in, like, 2-3 turns just through combat. So,
yeah,
make the changes that are necessary to have fun with it. Now, this was, and I don't know how close this was to your Akon list, but this was basically a pared-down version of my Akon list at the time. And, again, I saw a couple things that I really did and didn't like from it. Significantly speaking, I think I really need a war drum in there, because I have such low nerve values on my infantry units. And the +2 is really nice. Like, it would bring that horde of axe up to a 22-24 break, which is a damn high number. But also, like, the gore riders, for as hard as they hit, they're only like a 14-16, which is not hard to break.
No, that's what I noticed. A lot of cab, though, is kind of low. It's usually like a 15-17 or a 14-16.
Yeah.
Now, that war drum, does it have a range, or how's that work?
It's a 6-inch range, so, I mean, you got to be right up the butt with them, but it's every unit within 6 inches. So if you've got, you know, 2 or 3 units hugging each other, and you've got it kind of in the middle, you could hit all 3 units with it. I mean, it's not insignificant, that's for sure.
No, and I agree. The +2 is a big deal when it comes down to it. That's a game changer, really.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a big deal, yeah. And, I mean, bringing them from a 14-16 to a 16-18, you know, it also affects characters. So any character back there that's, you know, hiding behind things like the Godspeaker, the caster, brings him up from his 10-12 to a 12-14. Yeah, I mean, it's not to be underestimated. It's only 80 points, too. The thing is, I think that it takes up a monster slot, which, you know, for me, that's all my giants. But him, and then the only other thing that I was super dissatisfied with was the Godspeaker. The caster always seems so freaking useless, because you buy him Bane Chant, but it's only Bane Chant 2. I cast it 4 turns of the game, and even when I had bonus dice from being within range of a horde, I still only got the damn thing to go off once.
Yeah, that's nothing new, though. That is, you're awful at that spell. I mean, ever since we started playing this game, you can't get that thing to work.
Yeah, every time I try, it's like, all right, Bane Chant, nope, 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 no.
It's got to be frustrating.
It is super frustrating. Like, I'm spending 65... I'm spending 110 points on that dude, because he's 75 base, 15 for the Bane Chant, and then I give him the Inspiring Talisman, usually for 20. And I'm just like, if all he's going to do is inspire, because I can't get a damn casting off, I could just put a BSB in there for 50 points and save 60 points to put somewhere else. Another regiment of Orklings or something for chaff. But it's just, you know, you want that in there because you go for Bane Chant on turns that you think it's really going to matter. And if, you know, it does go off, then it's great. But I just have bad luck with it, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, you look at it, and, you know, 4+ on 2 dice, you know, that's 50-50. You should get it, right?
Yeah.
But it's amazing how often you do not get it. It cracks me up.
Well, I think even you had it the other day, too, and you weren't getting it either, though.
Yeah, no, I failed as well. So it goes both ways, but it's way funnier laughing at you not getting it.
Yeah. Oh, well, what do you do? That was the Destiny of Kings scenario. Really enjoyed it. Looking forward to playing some more down the road. That, you know, obviously, as we play them, we will discuss them.
Yeah, this if this is an indication of what's in that book, then I'm going to enjoy that book because this was just a fun game. Like I said, not really the most balanced scenario, but that's not what it's about. That's not what this book is about. So
yeah, it wasn't designed to be.
Yeah. So far, kudos to Mantic on this book. What I've used of it so far, I've enjoyed.
Yeah. One thing I would really like to do is, if you look through the chain scenario from the campaign that's actually in the book, I think it's like 6 or 7 scenarios, the armies involved in it are dwarfs, abyssals, undead, elves. And I'm like, that out of those 4 armies, we actually have them all. I don't know what state your high elves are in. I know you never really finished dealing with them. And my undead are in like a half-built stage. But Dave's got the abyssals. You and me both have dwarves. Like, we could actually play that campaign with what we have, I bet.
Oh, yeah. I mean, my elves are together. They're just not painted.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's, yeah, my undead are the same way. Like, there's a huge chunk of them put together. They're just not painted. And actually, I'm going to take them to Adepticon and try and sell them. So maybe we won't be able to do it soon.
Well, Dave's got undead, too, if he ever gets them together. That's true.
He kickstarted that, didn't he?
Yeah, it's what he got out of the Kickstarter. Yeah, he's got a ton.
Mantic.
He did, I think, 2 of the mega sets, so he's got
a lot.
A metric ton of skeletons and zombies.
Yeah, he'll put that together never.
Yeah, I agree.
That'll be in his closet in 5 years from now.
Yeah.
Oh, well. So, we're going to take a real quick break.
Guys, we need a bumper to share with the other Mantic podcasts. No swearing allowed. Oh, real professional. The Fourth of Snake is a UK-based Kings of War podcast presented by John.
I want to be an individual.
Dan. Nick.
Can I go to the toilet, please?
And Matt. You can find us on Facebook at OFFS and on Twitter at O4FootSnake. And you can find us on iTunes. That's 32 points of damage. Let's do a nerve check. Anything but snake eyes.
Alright, so we're back, and basically we're at the end of the show here. So next scenario. Usually at the end of the show, we come up with what we're going to play next. And next, we're going to play Adepticon.
Yay!
Whoopee!
So, it's quickly approaching. Like I said, it's early. It's, 27 days away, I think, from the night we're recording this. Me, you, Dave, and Chuck will all be going up there. We're all going to be playing in the team tournament. Chuck and I will be using orcs and abyssal dwarves. And you and Dave are going to be using, I assume, dwarves and demons?
Yeah, dwarves and abyssals.
Abyssals. And then Friday, me, you, and Dave will be playing Wild West Exodus. I don't know what Chuck's doing on Friday. I think he's actually playing Age of Sigmar with our buddy Kevin, because that's the game Kevin ended up in. And then you and Dave leave on Saturday, but Chuck and I stick around for the weekend for the Clash of Kings at 2,500 points, where we'll still be running orcs and abyssal dwarves. So really super excited about that. Chuck and I are carpooling, so we'll probably record a show on our way home talking about our weekend, and then you and I will get together and record after that talking about the team tournament experience. So you can look for a lot of that coverage in our episode 9. Show will probably be a lot longer than usual, but it's absolutely going to be all Kings of War and Adepticon talk. So, and then we'll probably put off talking about Wild West Exodus until episode number 10. It's kind of my thought.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. I mean, if I win the whole thing, I want to talk about it.
Yeah, I don't see that happening for any of us.
Yeah, I'm not rushing, unless it's just you and me that's in the tournament, then I got a shot.
Currently on my list of things to do, that's the first thing that's going to get dropped if I decide to drop anything like the day of.
I'm looking forward to it. I love that game. That game is awesome.
I don't know that I'm going to get my stuff done.
I'm super excited about it. My stuff's done. I'm ready to go. I painted it before I painted the Kings of War stuff.
I did not. I still have to paint at least probably 2 models minimum.
No, you'll make it then.
I got to finish the freaking orcs.
You'll get there.
We'll see. I hope so. I don't see why I shouldn't, but yeah. It seems like I'm pushing it awfully close.
Be hotel paint.
I don't want to drag all my paint shit up there. Yeah,
no joke, right?
That's a lot of work. I already drag a lot of stuff as it is to Adepticon. I don't need dragging all my paint stuff.
Yeah, you gotta take a little dolly with you to get all your stuff in there.
Yeah, I've done that before. That little camp dolly with all my coolers and cases. And I mean, this year's not going to be bad. I'll have like a tote of stuff to sell at the trade night. And then I'll have my army and then my clothes and a cooler full of food. And the only extra thing I'll really have is my dwarf army because you're going to use it.
Yeah. So you know what I have? I got 4 Wild West Exodus guys and a unit of Brock Riders. That's what I'm taking.
Ass. I ought to make you take the dwarf army with you next time we're together and be like, you take it up there, prick.
I got room for it.
I'm going to try and sell that while I'm up there too, although I have no belief that that's going to happen.
Good looking army. If anyone out there wants dwarves, hit Joe up.
It is good looking. It's damn sizable too. It's got 20 of every Warhammer dwarf unit in it almost, except for I think I only have 10 crossbows and 10 iron drakes. Got 3 gyros, 2 cannons, 2 organ guns. Yeah, it's got everything in it. And it's painted to a very nice standard. I mean, I'm not saying you're going to win any awards with it. There ain't no conversions in it. Maybe like 1 or 2 little bits, but, you know, 1-inch tall metal models, because the army is mostly the metals. What the hell are you going to change? So, yeah, if I ever want a fair price out of that, I'll have to eBay it unit by unit. But we'll see.
I mean, you're going to have to take a hit to get it all out at once. But
yeah,
it is, if you consider the amount of the models and the paint time that's been put into it, it is a good deal. It's just a lot to ask all at once.
Oh, dude, if you ignore the model, the painting, the models themselves, just to replace those is like $1,200 or $1,300 because of the metal. And that's actually replacing with like current GW plastics, you know, to actually go find those old metal models online. I can only imagine how much it would be, but
we'll be there at Adepticon. Find us, say hi.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking forward to meeting some listeners. I know there's a couple of guys that were on the, army in the weekend challenge that said they're going. So I'm looking to meeting them. Definitely excited. Super ready for it. Don't know if I'm going to attend the Mantic open night or not. I think, when did registration close? Is registration closed?
I thought it closed yesterday, I think, but yeah, I'm not 100% sure.
It might
sure.
be. I know Mantic does like an open night. I have no idea when it is. So, yeah, registration's closed. What do you do?
Yeah.
I imagine if we wanted to, we could talk around to somebody and find our way into it, but maybe. So, that's it. That's episode number 7 done and put down. Wanted to thank you guys all for joining us again and encourage you to come back, you know, in April to hear the episode where we cover Adepticon. Meantime, be sure to leave us any reviews on iTunes. You can get in contact with us. You can get us on Twitter at Hobby Heroes Cast. You can get us on Facebook at The Hobby Heroes. You can comment on our blog, of course, at thehobbyheroes.com, or you can email us either Joe or Ryan at thehobbyheroes.com. So, yeah, if you guys have anything to say, any comments on the show, questions, criticisms, we'll listen to it all. You can get a hold of us one of those ways. If you're at Adepticon, definitely look us up.
Just another thanks to Wade for sending us some feedback. We always look forward to everyone else. Anytime you want to get in touch with us, do it, and we'll get back to you. And that's all I got for the night.
Yeah, thanks a lot, guys. So have a good one, and we'll be back in April.
Down the street, he says, why am I soft in the middle now? Why am I soft in the middle? The rest of my life is so hard. I need a photo opportunity. I want a shot of redemption. Don't want to end up a cartoon in a cartoon graveyard. Bone digger, bone digger, dogs in the moonlight. Far away, my well-lit door. Mr. Beer Belly, Beer Belly, get these mutts away from me, you know. I don't find this stuff amusing anymore. If you'll be my bodyguard, I can be your long lost pal. I can call you Betty, Betty, when you call me, you can call me Al. A man walks down the street, he says, why am I short of attention? Got a short little span of attention, and oh, my nights are so long. Where's my wife and family? What if I die here? Who'll be my role model now that my role model is gone, gone? He ducked back down the alley with some roly-poly little bat-faced girl. All along, along, there were incidents and accidents. There were hints and allegations. If you'll be my bodyguard, I can be your long lost pal. I can call you daddy, and daddy when you call me, you call me out, call me out. Speak language, he holds no currency, he is a foreign.